Are you ready for the quantum age?
Humanity's next step in evolution?
Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you to the extraordinary platform of Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age.
Let's explore. Learn more about this upcoming age where we bridge science with spirituality.
Where potentiality meets reality.
Where we take compassion into action.
Our trailblazers and visionaries will ask the whys, the what ifs, while igniting continuous possibility.
Come along with us into an age beyond what we know today, where we can grow together in unity consciousness.
Experience Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age, Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on DreamVision7Radio.com.
Welcome to Radical Transformational Leadership with Dr. Monica Sharma, heard every other Tuesday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and every Saturday, 6 a.m. Eastern. This is a Dream Vision 7 Radio Network production on the Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age platform. To learn more, go to DreamVision7Radio.com. Monica Sharma embodies the mindful and compassionate change agent the world needs now. In Radical Transformational Leadership, she offers us all a map for action and a clarion call to become the change we want to see. Monica Sharma's voice, based on experience and conviction, strengthens the case that leadership can be shaped with equality, freedom, and justice, rooted in the transformational power of human compassion. I invite you into this most powerful show with Dr. Monica Sharma. Welcome to Radical Transformational Leadership with Dr. Monica Sharma, heard every other Tuesday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and every Saturday, 6 a.m. Eastern. This is a Dream Vision 7 Radio Network production on the Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age platform. To learn more, go to DreamVisions7Radio.com. The survival and future of humanity and civilization depends on the framework Monica Sharma outlines in Radical Transformational Leadership. It is my sincere hope that anyone who wants to participate in healing our wounded planet will read this book and follow its principles. Anyone who doubts that the changes needed to lift our world beyond the chaos of today's deep problems and political chest thumping need look no further than this book. The new field she describes as radical systems and cultural transformation constitutes a kind of invisible renaissance emerging around the world of understanding the entwined inner and outer nature of genuine systemic change. I invite you into this most powerful show with Dr. Monica Sharma.
Good day. Thank you so much, Deborah, for creating this opportunity for radical transformational leadership through Dream Vision 7 Radio Network and in the program Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age. I'd like to talk about what we mean by radical transformational leadership. The word radical is not a political word. The word radical comes from a mathematical term which means the root of. So this work is about the root of who I am. Transformational, we mean something very specific. What we mean by transformational is my ability, your ability, to create enduring and equitable change, new systems and cultural norms that work for everyone universally. And what does leadership mean for us? The ability to create new futures. And we also say a leader is a person around whom other leaders grow. So radical transformational leadership is based on the source of who I am and how I create enduring and equitable change, establishing new systems and cultural norms that work for everyone, and my ability to create new futures. You will hear people who have engaged in this work and have made a huge difference. Their actions have generated results, measurable results. And they use the tools and templates that have been designed for radical transformational leadership and are in the book, Radical Transformational Leadership, by me, Monica Sharma. I'd like to share a couple of thoughts with you. What we are sharing with you in the book and in this radio program are tested strategic actions that generated results worldwide. That this methodology works for different cultures, fosters respect and diversity, and that it's multi-sector, multi-level, within organizations and in society. It levels the playing field, breaking pathological hierarchies. It's not about doing different things. It's about doing the same thing differently. It's a time saver, a huge time saver. It builds the ecosystem for change beyond the scatter of good ideas. It's about the next generation activism, where every person unfolds their full potential based on universal values of dignity for everyone, equity as a cornerstone of change, and compassion, which is the strong space of being called to act when we see suffering. These methods transcend polarization. They address the immediate systems and cultural causes, and they are able to deal with the underlying factors, the human beings that have the potential to make change. And when we don't tap into that, we don't create the futures that you and I want to see. We all do things we are capable of doing. Not that that's wrong. We engage in societal change, change in our families, in our workplace. But most of those changes are designed in a way that they address a partial aspect of our work. Today, you will hear conversations on the conscious full spectrum response. The conscious full spectrum response is the fractal for large-scale change. It is the space where you and I, all our listeners and our speakers, are tapping into their full potential based on values that are universal: dignity for everyone, equity and compassion. It's about transforming those systems and doing something. So welcome to this program. And I invite you to listen to the wonderful speakers we have today.
Hello and welcome to Radical Transformational Leadership with Dr. Monica Sharma. Unfortunately, Monica is unable to join us today. My name is Kirsten Gallo, and I am pleased to be here with my co-host, Sudarshan Rodriguez. Hi, Sudarshan.
Hi, Kirsten. In this program, we talk with fellow RTL practitioners about their use of the RTL tools as they work to promote dignity and equity and deliver real results around the world. What may be unique or unusual is that we work to promote dignity and equity for everyone, 100% of us, not just me and mine. When we embody our universal values, the things we deeply care about, there's no such thing as dignity for and equity for us and not for them. We often think that human beings are driven primarily by self-interest. There's certainly evidence for self-centered behavior. However, we now know that human beings innately care about others. We have many examples of people helping others out, whether it's helping in childcare, carrying groceries, providing assistance after disaster. We now know that compassion is an integral component of our social intelligence that has enabled us to survive for thousands of years. Many years ago, I was having a discussion with a colleague. He was a conservation biologist, and he truly believed that human beings are selfish. At that time, I did not know how to respond, though instinctively, I knew what he said was not true. Today, I have the language, the vocabulary, the psychology, the neuroscience and science to respond to him. Human beings, unlike other animals, have a higher consciousness and a higher evolved brain. And as a species, have innate attributes of compassion, self-worth, and fairness, which we can tap into and foster. I also now realize how his professional profile of studying nature and evolution and conservation had informed his worldviews. In RTL, we take caring for others a step further and actively help others to find the greatness that lives within them. When we stand in our greatness and stand for others' greatness, true transformation can occur.
That is so true, Sudarshan. There's a quote by George Bernard Shaw that has always resonated with me. Life isn't about finding yourself. Life is about creating ourselves.
You're right. I think part of what diminishes or disempowers us is all the guilt, shame, and judgment we have in our cultures. Instead, it makes us feel badly about ourselves, as if we are unworthy of love, happiness, care, or anything good. From this space, we tend to make choices that aren't empowering. In the learning and action programs of RTL, I and many others see how difficult it is initially for people to notice the subtle and blatant mechanisms of social control in their families, workplaces, and in society. And irrespective of my social status, my educational profile, or my material resources, or my place in an organizational hierarchy, I am equal as a human being. And when I'm resilient and I do not diminish myself, I unfold my full potential. Others cannot diminish me, even if their intention is to do so. The new learning is that the space of oneness and our inner potential exists in all human beings and can be accessed by anyone who chooses to do so, even if their actions are inhuman and are unacceptable. And by accessing this inner capacity, we transform our actions and reality.
You know, one of the things about RTL that deeply resonates with me is that when we embody universal values, we start to recognize the ways in which insults, shaming, and guilt are routinely used for control and domination. RTL practitioners stop that behavior and we build resilience. And our practice begins with identifying our greatness, which is rooted in what we deeply care about. We inquire, who do I deeply admire? And what qualities do they have that inspire me? For me, I've been so inspired by the deep caring and creativity of Wangari Maathai, who began the Greenbelt movement in Africa. And she paid women in villages to plant and care for trees. And these trees helped restore the health of the environment, and they provided an income for the women and made their lives easier because the trees provided food and made the water table rise so they didn't have to walk so far to get water. It's brilliant in its simplicity. And when we stand for this type of deep caring and creativity, we begin to look for gaps in the values we hold in our words and actions. And embodying our stand provides strength and resilience to use our words and actions in powerful, life-affirming ways. We also gain enough self-awareness that we no longer speak or act in ways that diminish or marginalize others. We know deep within that every single person has greatness within them.
Yes, that's a wonderful example. In fact, I'm reminded of this one incident in one of our projects. My colleague Shamita was conducting a skill and capacity training program, which combined social enterprise skills using the RTL tools and the CFSR model, the Conscious Full Spectrum Response Model, as a design. One of the women from the community said she stands for equality and well-being. And her enterprise, social enterprise, was to open a restaurant. First of all, in rural India, women don't set up restaurants or hotels, let alone cook in restaurants. Moreover, she decided that her clientele were the daily wage migrant labor from the neighboring village, from a Dalit community, the so-called lowest in India's socially constructed caste system, quote unquote, the untouchables. She did face opposition from men and her husband, but she mobilized respected elders, supporters who championed her initiative as a principal risk taker and change agent. Sometimes we often forget that we judge and marginalize others and we create an us-them situation and an environment of equity. We do the same thing when we make others wrong. So many issues that we have today, casteism, racism, sexism, all of our disempowering isms is because we judge and marginalized another person or group. This divisiveness we experience today occurs because of our judgment of others, ourselves. It's something we can choose to stop. We can stop judging ourselves and others, and we can stop practice, and we can stop practicing in conversations that put others down.
I completely agree. You know, I tend to have views on the different side of the political spectrum than my parents do. And one time when I was visiting them, they were watching something on TV, and the whole focus of the show was how the other political party was bad, 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 wrong, wrong, wrong. And I watched for maybe a minute or two, and then I got up to leave. My dad asked me whether I was leaving because I didn't agree with them. And I just said, you know, it's not about agreeing or disagreeing. I stand for unity and caring, and I'm not going to spend my time with anything that creates the opposite. And my parents were quite surprised. And curiously, the political discourse in my family, which was much softer and less frequent after that, we just didn't talk about politics as much. And we all have the power to step away from judgment and divisive or polarizing conversation. We also have the ability to turn off the television.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Thank you for that. We do have that choice. We could even say that the journey from exclusion to inclusion starts with me. This practice of not judging others because we hold greatness within each of us is important for our conversation today with Joshi Jose. Joshi works in India with some of the people who have been most marginalized among us, commercial sex workers.
Yeah, you know, I'm really looking forward to learning how Joshi's using RTL with his community. Joshi Jose works in the space of organizational learning and development, addressing issues of gender-based violence and discrimination, intersectionality, rehabilitation of children rescued from red light districts, and in the prevention of child trafficking. RTL helped him build bridges and dialogue with unlikely excluded communities such as brothel owners, rescued children and sex workers who may also be parents or caregivers, funding partners and civil society groups. Welcome, Joshi. I'm so pleased that you're here today.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us about your work with RTL. What challenges have you been addressing and what results have you delivered?
Well, I was working in a right-based organization. My colleague and I were privileged to attend the RTL Learning in Action session with Monica, Sudarshan and others. Once the three-part series was over, we were convinced that unless RTL becomes part of our organization's practice, our work will only be used for intellectual arguments. We influenced the leadership and rolled RTL tools and practices out to a group of strategically picked colleagues who themselves were influencers. And finally, we helped the senior management team members to be part of RTL. The result was magical. The entire language of the organization shifted from right-centered to value-centered. As a right-centered organization, using right-based approach, which is a strategy, the middle circle of the CFSR model, the assumption expectation is once we help the affected individuals or communities realize their rights and direct them to duty bearers, such as police, government officials, or providers, the individuals' communities will take this up as a struggle, and duty bearers are compelled to meet the demands around rights. But very soon through RTL, I realized that the actual shift happens when I help the affected community and the duty bearers stand in their greatness. After that, it's just a matter of identifying gaps using integrity lens and other tools. My colleagues started exploring in teams how value-based human greatness can be explored in diverse forums. I personally use value-centered conversations when addressing fathers to prevent early marriage in village communities of Bihar and Jharkhand. The moment we started painting the true meaning of care and dignity beyond discriminatory social norms and linked it with the well-being of their children, we could build a bridge of clarity and dialogue, which soon resulted in their own stand against early marriage. Very soon, I was convinced that unless we create an environment, rather a movement, where value-focused conversation becomes a new norm, we'll always be tangled in an us versus them dichotomy.
That's a powerful culture shift from a rights-based to a values-based organization, and very insightful, recognizing the relationships between conversations around human rights, creating an us versus them dichotomy. We need to take a short break, and we will be back to hear more about Joshi's work in just a few minutes.
We live in a world battling for peace, threatened with violence and inequality, being justified as both means and ends, sometimes disguised, packaged, and branded differently. This self-destructive worldview is dominated and backed by spurious arguments for leadership based on the idea of supremacy of race, religion, culture, or of money. Monica's counter, a perspective drawn from contemporary idiom, is based on experience and conviction. It shows that leadership can be shaped with equality, freedom, justice, and where means and ends are rooted in the transformatory power of human compassion. Let's explore this transformatory power of human compassion together. Join us for the program with Dream Vision 7 Radio Network every other Tuesday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and every Saturday at 6 a.m. Eastern. Share this information widely. Enroll people who want to make a difference. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network hosts many programs that unite humanity sourcing our love. Are you a game changer? Do you care about creating a vibrant future for humanity planet? If you care, you'll choose to engage in strategic actions in order to transform the realities of today for generating a thriving planet. Find out how you can do this. Read the book, Radical Transformational Leadership, by Dr. Monica Sharma. This book is a systemic exploration of how to work with and transform the interlocking circumstances contributing to the complex problems we're facing. There's a chance of achieving a world that manifests peace, equity, and well-being for everyone. And this work offers the readers the creative ways and means of contributing to such a world-changing agenda. Are you satisfied with the world as it is today? If you're not satisfied, join us for programs to unleash your full potential with Dr. Monica Sharma. It's open to all changemakers wanting to generate equitable and sustainable results for well-being. Find out more about programs at www.radicallytransform.org. Everyone has the potential to be a leader, a person who creates a new future through actions in society, at home, and at work. In this program, you'll discover pathways for unleashing our human potential to create new futures through strategic action. Find out more about programs at www.radicallytransform.org. We need new leadership capacities to face the challenges of today's world, to think differently, design strategically, and act on principles with accountability and generate results. These new capacities must be able to align principles, purpose, and practice to build a better world. Again, join us for a program to unleash your full potential with Dr. Monica Sharma. Find out more about programs at www.radicallytransform.org.
And we're back with Joshi Joes, who's been telling us about his incredible work using RTL tools and templates to address issues of gender-based violence and discrimination and to prevent child trafficking. Joshi, please tell us more about the problems you've been addressing and the results you've delivered.
I remember during India's trade embargo with Nepal a few years back, I worked in Maharajganj, one of the border districts of Uttar Pradesh. While working with children in the villages, most of the adults in groups only had girls and a few boys, which was very unusual compared to villages in other districts of UP. When we inquired, we learned that most of the boys were used by their parents or community to smuggle goods across the border as couriers, human couriers. In fact, that morning, two of the boys were shot by the Indian border patrol, and one of the boys died. I remember that night, after witnessing this incident and hearing about another incident about how three girls under the age of 12 were left at the border to fend for themselves. When the trafficker panicked and fled, leaving the girls behind, screaming, wept, and I couldn't sleep the whole night. A universal heart of love and compassion was broken open. Since I stand for equity, dignity, and harmony, this incident and many such incidents prompted us to redefine and expand our program, which was previously only focused on gender-based violence and trafficking faced by girls, to now include systemic violence faced by boys. At present, I'm part of an organization which works with brothel owners, trans communities, and mothers who work as commercial sex workers to rescue children in the distress, children in distress in the red light districts of India. Through them, through mothers and trans community members, we create safe spaces for children who live in red light districts. Our team does most of the rescue work through mothers and then network with partners for rehabilitating them. I use the same principles of RTL while working in the district, training the risk takers and aligning with key partners. In fact, 10 members of our partner and main organization have already attended the three-part series with Monica and the RTL team. As we are unfolding the RTL principles for partners, the shift is quite evident. If we had followed the right-based approach, we would have demanded that it is a child's right to be protected through government service providers, police, and rescue workers. They should have forcibly taken the children from the commercial sex worker mothers, creating unrest, being hated, and leaving the children in government-run shelter homes to face further violence. But through a universal value-centered approach, we are moving children to safe spaces and minimizing the risks around them without too much conflict. You work through the value-centered greatness approach, creating non-negotiables like if a CSW becomes pregnant, the brothel owners will help her or seek help. They will protect children under 10 from sex work, and allow the mothers to drop the children in the daycare center.
Yeah, making the universal values explicit and inviting everyone to source their inner capacity in our conversations, strategies, and actions is what RTL is all about. And one can achieve great results and impact the system shifts and disempowering cultural norms. That's brilliant work, Joshi. Tell us how you did shift patterns and norms and create breakthroughs.
Being excluded and hated to include and in solution, becoming solution finders. The communities we work with, children, youth from red light districts or vulnerable communities, sex workers, brothel owners, trans communities, sex workers, funding partners, teachers, and counselors are often stigmatized, feared, hated, and excluded. Helping them to explore their own greatness and act in their greatness was quite a challenge. Over the past 2 years, in the midst of COVID, we were able to build dialogues, continue to rescue and work with children and their mothers, who are commercial sex workers, trans groups and brothel owners, and government officials, in fact. We established a daycare center and a night shelter, provided scholarships, rehabilitation in partner and campuses, and explored new funding possibilities. Another shift which we could see very clearly is when sex workers choose to be mothers, they face a whole lot of challenges. They are mistreated, deprived of income, and risk having unattended home deliveries. The children are born at home. In spite of all this, many CSWs choose to become mothers. When the child is born, it is difficult to keep the child safe. In fact, one of the incidents which really broke me in many ways is that one of the mothers used to chain her child under the bed while she was servicing the clients. After a lot of negotiation using universal values and enrollment with brothel owners and others, we started a day-night care center where young children are cared for while their mothers are at work. We also started a maternal and newborn care program that provides mothers with lessons on reproductive health, including STDs and VDRL, tests for venereal diseases. The women are often helped by the non-judgment environment in the center. Many of the mothers now, in turn, reach out to other women in the district who are often trafficked or are migrants. Example, they will not be speaking the same language. They are not allowed to go out of the brothel. Still, they are not a risk. Often, their basic needs for hygiene, medical checkups are ignored.
I'm really glad that you're working to create community among the women Last month, Satyot Gill, a mental health professional, joined us, and she spoke specifically about creating well-being in community. She had implemented a well-being framework for a community-based organization based on RTL tools, and it was designed to support young girls from marginalized communities to realize the importance of working towards their own and others' well-being. And she said that an individual's resilience can be reinforced or grown when you have supportive practices, conversations, and actions that create well-being in the community. You also have the benefit of people looking out for you. So great work in doing that. What other breakthroughs have you generated in your work?
Once rescued from the red light district, children unlike other institutional setups are not put in shelter homes, which are often spaces for survival, guilt, and shame. These children are rehabilitated in hostels where healing, abundance, and co-creation is the focus. So for example, during the COVID lockdown, our rehabilitation center was cut off from the outside world. We couldn't get staff or supplies into the center, so we had to completely rely on locally available resources. But the campus was for years run through hierarchical, directional, or rules or roles leadership culture. We soon realized the only way forward was if we all align around a set of principles based on universal values. And we were going to have to hold the mindset of abundance. The group came up with 5 key principles. The first one was simply called hands-on. We can all identify the gaps and contribute. We don't need advisors or directors or managers to do this for us. Less is more. We don't need to look for resources, solutions outside. Answers lies within, and stop spending resources on frill or fringe activities. The third principle was co-create. We need each other's contribution. We value each other's contribution. And solutions emerge in co-created spaces. Youth care about other youth. That's the fourth one. Don't look for resources from providers or staff. As you are being cared for, care for others. And the fifth one is beyond silos. Everyone stretch and take up new responsibilities. And the result was amazing. We planted our own garden and produced close to 700 kgs of onions. Almost 80% of veggies we consume, we produce in the campus. Staff and youth volunteered to be barbers, cooks, washroom cleaners, nurses, drivers, farmers, teachers, and we had many more other roles. We had academic results in the middle of the COVID. Girls cleared entrance exams doing professional degrees today.
That is so wonderful, this shift from scarcity to abundance, and how they created abundance by working together. They created personal and community resilience at the same time. What an incredible example of what's possible when we all work together. Are there other breakthroughs you'd like to share with us?
Some of the other breakthroughs are, you know, just by building awareness and helping them to be aware of their rights, we found that that's only a partial solution. But unless we work with, so we started working with partners to actual rehabilitation and helping the young people to gain full potential. So partial solution to full potential become one more shift, which we clearly articulated and we worked through. Another one is about from self-integrity to community integrity. From asking who is responsible, or the other way, I am not responsible, to discerning and seeing gaps with their systemic and cultural causes clearly then becomes a conversation for action, their independence. And the third one, neglected, and these women who are neglected and sold as sex workers become agents for change, for helping children to be rescued and put in a space for abundance.
That is so great. Thank you. Thank you for your work on behalf of my sisters and brothers in India and all of humanity. Your work is so important and so powerful, Joshi.
In fact, I'm reminded of the quote by Sharon Knoll, Monica's colleague, whose work we use in RTL tools. It says, responsibility can be embraced as a powerful relationship to circumstances, a new interpretation of responsibility provides the possibility for effective action in the face of challenges. It provides the possibility for ongoing improvement of performance. The conversation, "I am not responsible," guarantees the continuation of the past. Responsibility cannot be forced on someone, not even on yourself. If you authentically choose to stand there, you are empowered. It's a powerful quote.
Very powerful. And what have you done differently in your current engagements because of this work?
One of the fallacies which I reflected on, so one of the fallacies, it is better not to talk about the shame and guilt and associated identity and simply embrace a new identity towards empowerment. The larger community doesn't have much of a role. That's a policy. A new learning emerges through our work. It's a new learning. It's about journey of new beginning starts with exploring and standing firmly on one's values and contributing towards overcoming fear, guilt, and shame to creating safe spaces for oneself and others around us.
Thank you, Joshi. We definitely cannot overstate the importance of embodying values. It's truly at the heart of everything we do. Is there something you'd like to share to sum up?
In summary, at the personal space, the ability to recognize every issue as simply a gap and don't have to judge myself or others, and the need the gap to be addressed either by me, if I can, or allowing others or recognizing others' greatness to plug the gap, removed a lot of stress in my life. Now my effort is not about whom to blame, but in fact, how to plug the gap. A lot of energy gets wasted when the whole conversation is around whom to blame. And the journey from exclusion to inclusion starts with me. You know, another learning which I personally reflected on is making hidden social norms. When I make hidden social norms explicit, that's the way to change it. And of course, there is greatness in everyone.
Wow, Joshi, thank you. You have such powerful messages about inclusion, hidden social norms, and the innate greatness we all hold. It makes me wonder whether these are the golden rules of community. You've done such a phenomenal job of creating community, in addition to uplifting the lives of commercial sex workers and their children through education, healthcare, and creating a non-judgmental and guilt-free environment. I am so inspired by your work and so, so grateful that you are there in the world, standing for and manifesting the greatness for some of the most marginalized among us.
Thank you, Joshi. You're really inspiration, and that's compassion in action. In fact, I'm reminded of one of the new learnings from Monica's book, which says that all human beings have the innate capacity to be empathetic and compassionate. Nurturing environments in childhood stimulate this potential. And adults who have difficult childhoods can choose to access our humanity with the appropriate support and can also act to support each other. This is precisely what you're doing. Thank you for sharing your journey with us and also introducing our viewers to becoming co-travelers in this global movement of radical transformational leadership. We'll take another break and be back in a few minutes.
Are you a game changer? Do you care about creating a vibrant future for humanity planet? If you care, you'll choose to engage in strategic actions in order to transform the realities of today for generating a thriving planet. Find out how you can do this. Read the book, Radical Transformational Leadership, by Dr. Monica Sharma. This book is a systemic exploration of how to work with and transform the interlocking circumstances contributing to the complex problems we're facing. There's a chance of achieving a world that manifests peace, equity, and well-being for everyone. And this work offers the readers the creative ways and means of contributing to such a world-changing agenda. We live in a world battling for peace, threatened with violence and inequality, being justified as both means and ends, sometimes disguised, packaged, and branded differently. This self-destructive worldview is dominated and backed by spurious arguments for leadership based on the idea of supremacy of race, religion, culture, or of money. Monica's counter, a perspective drawn from contemporary idiom, is based on experience and conviction. It shows that leadership can be shaped with equality, freedom, justice, and where means and ends are rooted in the transformatory power of human compassion. Let's explore this transformatory power of human compassion together. Join us for the program with Dream Vision 7 Radio Network every other Tuesday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and every Saturday at 6 a.m. Eastern. Share this information widely. Enroll people who want to make a difference. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network hosts many programs that unite humanity sourcing our love. Are you satisfied with the world as it is today? If you're not satisfied, join us for programs to unleash your full potential with Dr. Monica Sharma. It's open to all changemakers wanting to generate equitable and sustainable results for well-being. Find out more about programs at www.radicallytransform.org. Everyone has the potential to be a leader, a person who creates a new future through actions in society, at home, and at work. In this program, you'll discover pathways for unleashing our human potential to create new futures through strategic action. Find out more about programs at www.radicallytransform.org. We need new leadership capacities to face the challenges of today's world, to think differently, design strategically, and act on principles with accountability and generate results. These new capacities must be able to align principles, purpose, and practice to build a better world. Again, join us for a program to unleash your full potential with Dr. Monica Sharma. Find out more about programs at www.radicallytransform.org.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And we are back. You know, Kirsten, I'm thinking about the environments Joshi created that were free of judgment, guilt, and shame. These environments are critical to Joshi's success. Guilt only worsens or maintains the status quo of my self-esteem and self-worth. I do not grow with it. Monica's colleague, Sharon Nall, whose work we use in RTL, mentions that guilt is a justification for not moving forward in a positive and productive way. It leaves me feeling immobilized by something that has occurred in the past. Excessive guilt destroys my self-esteem, authenticity, creativity, and growth, but also for the people I interact with, and especially those I love the most. She stresses that being responsible for one's action or being able to powerfully respond to the circumstances in order to make a contribution does not appear as options inside the mode of guilt.
I completely agree with you. And I think that guilt's cousin, shame, has a similar and perhaps more destructive effect, because shame often leads us to thinking that we are flawed and unworthy of love. Both are born of judgment and, as you stated, stifles our growth and diminishes our self-esteem. Like judgment and exclusion, we can all choose to stop these behaviors.
While we're on the topic of challenging emotion, Joshi's sharing of the occasions where his heart was broken open is powerful. It's clear he used the experience as a space of renewal, strength, and inspiration. As human beings, we often suppress our feelings, or we put our walls and defenses so that we won't be hurt again. Many self-development programs rightly focus on getting in touch with our feelings in order to notice and release ourselves from these blockages. But this does not result in the compassionate heart automatically breaking open. Nor do we act courageously simply because our emotional baggage is light. The universal heart beats in a totally different space, a space where my, our heart, completely breaks open and I embrace humanity in its totality as I journey through my life. It's non-judgmental, spacious, creative, and compassionate. A quiet but determined space where my will rise to action in universal love and compassion. It could be broken open by an everyday occurrence or a dramatic incident. And when it breaks open, our heart of compassion is an opening for our greatness to manifest. During the Mumbai floods in 2005, I was returning home. The floods had the streets inundated with knee-to-waist deep water, and I saw a whirlpool created by an open manhole where the water was draining. People had made a fence around it with branches of trees. And a local shop owner told me that the previous day, a little boy had drowned and got sucked into the whirlpool. I was so upset and disturbed, I couldn't sleep at night. I was sad, upset, outraged, but most of all, my heart was really broken open. Next morning, I just went out, joined the sewerage workers, were actually cleaning the drains, to actually work with them in the underground drains so that the flood water would recede and get drained out. It was not easily handling it, working in those underground sewers. I vomited many times, but I still continued.
Wow, what strength. That's what our universal heart of compassion does. Keeps us in action when we're exhausted, disgusted, or ready to give up. There's no doubt that we've all experienced heartbreak. But you're right, Sudarshan, we often fail to use it as an opportunity to open our hearts to new possibilities or new ways of being. In fact, sometimes we're discouraged, and we erroneously say that we react to other people's suffering because we have bleeding hearts or we're not irrational. But that is not true. We are being emotional, and we're being emotional because we're human. What's true is that my courageous, wide-open heart is a space of endless possibilities, just as you described. It's a non-dual space where I am spacious awareness, in unison with my mind, emotions, and bodies. And I'm moved to compassionate action in the dualistic world. Most of us suffer many heartbreaks through our lives. When I was young, maybe 7 or 8 years old, the trees in the woods behind our house was cut down, and I was devastated, and I cried for days because I loved being in those woods. I thought it was the most beautiful place in the world. Afterwards, I wrote a letter to the deer and bunnies, promising that I would always protect them. And decades later, I am still at it, and the woods are still my favorite place to be.
Wow, Kirsten, how touching and inspiring. Those definitive moments of our inner capacity and our universal heart of love shape us so much and remind us of our inner potential and greatness. It's a space to renew and recharge us to strengthen our inner capacity.
You know, I was struck by Joshi's definition between a rights-based approach and the approach of the conscious full spectrum response model that sources universal values to shift systems and norms to solve problems. We've had so many fights in our history over equal rights, whether it's the right to vote or own property or practice any religion we choose. I am inspired by Joshi and his colleagues moving to a values-based approach. In the U.S., for example, our Constitution guarantees us the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And our Bill of Rights guarantees other rights, such as free speech, the right to a jury trial, etc. However, none of those rights ensure that we will be treated fairly or with dignity. They don't guarantee that systems won't be set up that benefit some more than others. And none of these rights support us in achieving our full potential. However, a values-based approach can lead to all of those things. And I think embodying our values is the difference between surviving and thriving.
Yeah, the difference between surviving and thriving, embodying values. So true. You know, Kirsten, governments, charters, courts, constitutions design and address violations of human rights through instruments and strategies that enable us to claim our rights or safeguard them. But there's a big difference between talking about human rights and universal values and having them written down and actually have everyone in society embody universal values. When a human rights torchbearer works for the rights of self and others, not from an understanding, but both from an understanding and embodiment of human rights, sourcing human agency for self and others, it's a totally different space and impact. In fact, let me just share a fallacy and the new learning from Monica's book. The fallacy that these human rights instruments and conversations on ethics are about pointing fingers and making others wrong. Let's focus on getting the job done. But here's the new learning. Human rights and ethics are primarily about embodying the values underpinning these instruments by all, leading to the highest quality of life for humanity, where we all live with dignity and thrive without discrimination and are whole with integrity. Monica also highlights the key new learning that is relevant here, that the mindset that commodifies human beings and treats them as utility objects also commodifies our earth and her resources. Human trafficking is the ultimate in commodification of humans. Our oneness includes human beings, all sentient beings, animals and plants, and the earth. And the universal values and mindset and worldview emanating from these universal values underpin peace and equitable change for humanity and also underpin sustainable change for our planet. All disempowering isms, such as racism, classism, sexism, casteism in my country, India, are held in relationship or comparison of one group to another. we can interrupt disempowering social, political, and economic isms in our cultures, systems, structures, and societies when we choose to commit to an equitable and sustainable world and manifest universal values for strategic action and actually alter the mindset that gives rise to disempowering isms. If we choose not to interrupt the patterns of ism by not sourcing our universal values and retain the same mindset and ideology, we will face another version of this same disempowering ism, even though we have strategies to address the present problems.
So true, Sudarshan. We talked at the beginning of our conversation about how embodying values helps us stop judging and marginalizing others, the behaviors that lead to these isms. And in RTL, we discovered that the patterns of otherness, exclusion, domination, whether it's people or planet, can be interrupted by embodying universal values for strategic action and results. We practice transcending our scarcity mindset fueled by competition and fear and move beyond token representation, superficial gestures of inclusion, and inadequate support from people for people who are marginalized by our cultures or systems and the hollow politically correct statements that we make. However, we haven't talked about the systemic issues that support marginalizing communities, such as commercial sex workers. Our systems deliver what they were designed to deliver, and typically they deliver a lot of money to a few beneficiaries. And when injustice is present through socially constructed norms and practices based on identities or domination, people who touch their universal heart of compassion and alter their mindset are called to act and address the inequities. When society and individuals stereotype compassionate people in ways that do not honor their inner capacity, we make it harder for all of us to achieve goals and outcomes of interrupting these disempowering isms.
Yes, Kirsten. In fact, Joshi said that if his organization had stayed with a rights-based approach, their work would have resulted in intellectual arguments only. Incremental changes in responses to the problem, or those that are purely intellectual, do not address the current magnitude of the crisis we face. They only create a false sense of being in action that leads to complacency. They are at best strategies for surviving and not thriving. We have talked and debated about social, environmental, and economic challenges facing humanity and our planet for 7 decades now. But now we have the potential for establishing an equitable world with purposeful goals and the ways to accomplish them. What we never had and now do is a concrete strategic model, tools, templates, and designs, instruments for addressing these challenges. It's a great opportunity to work on interdependent strategies for a thriving planet and human prosperity and achieving these sustainable development goals, provided we are aligned with a set of design templates, the architecture and operational strategies of RTL, Radical Transformation Leadership. Radical transformation necessitates responding to the problems of today and simultaneously realizing our full potential to generate alternatives for tomorrow, both source from universal values. Most often we design projects and initiatives to respond to problems, survival needs, poverty reduction, reducing vulnerability, reducing pollution. Others look at responding to the problems and realizing full potential for generating alternatives, such as a sequential continuum, often describing it as an evolutionary process.
That's exactly what Joshi and his team did when they shifted from a rights-based to a values-based organization. It's brilliant. And of course, it all starts with embodying our values. If we don't, we'll continue to create systems that violate our dignity and promote inequity. Ultimately, transcending us versus them really does come down to each and every one of us. One of my bosses once said that when fires of conflict rage, we can either be fuel or a wet blanket. A self-reflection practice, in my view, is critical for those of us who want to make a profoundly positive contribution to the world. It's the best way that I've found to identify gaps in my intentions and words or actions so that I can close those gaps. When I first started this self-reflection practice, I would ask myself 3 questions at the end of the day. Did I live? Did I love? Did I matter? And while I really love those questions and they speak to my ability to be fully present in the moment and focus on the things that are most important, they aren't particularly strategic. They don't help me identify gaps or unintended consequences or to identify things that aren't working for me or get clear on what I've learned. What worked? What didn't? What gaps do I see? What new possibilities do I see? What will I do differently? Although these questions aren't as elegant or poignant as the live, love, matter questions, they're excellent at facilitating learning. Sudarshan, what's your self-reflection practice?
For me, it's, you know, how have I grown? What are the opportunities for me to grow? Every limit or a gap in me is an opportunity for my growth. I must also notice my growth and what I do well. And irrespective of the situation, I always ask if there's a better way of doing it. Is there another way of looking at it? These conversations also happen in our meetings in my team. And each of us listen deeply and give space us, you know, for everyone, for our stillness, our wisdom to emerge during the space of our thoughts. Stillness is really important. Another one for me to reflect is on my inner capacity and authenticity, reminding and asking myself, who am I being in this moment? Am I being driven by my socialized fears or my inner capacity?
Another practice that's been helpful for me is deliberately connecting with values in particular situations. For example, I was attending a meeting about our vegetation mapping program, and the whole thing was strange because even though it was my inventory and monitoring program, the staff who led it worked for a different program in the National Park Service. They didn't work for me, but I did provide funding, I approved their plans, and I was responsible for the program. It was a weird situation. And we were holding a meeting because something wasn't working. However, when my I&M staff were setting up a meeting, they only wanted to invite the staff from I&M. They didn't want to invite the staff from the other program who actually did the vegetation mapping. And I knew that I would need to hold the space of unity during that meeting and subsequent meetings until we all understood that we were on the same team working to accomplish the same result.
Yes, Kirsten, when I'm grounded in my values and I'm authentic, and foster and focus results, I can really create a space of co-creation and teamwork within interdependence, break hierarchy and the silos that we normally have in organizations.
So once again, I'd like to thank Josie Joes for being with us today and for your inspiring work on behalf of humanity. You have beautifully described what's possible when we co-create from a space of our full potential. Thanks to you too, Sudarshan, for your thoughtful insight and your commitment to making RTL a global movement.
Thank you, Kirsten. And I'd like to leave you all with a question for self-reflection, or actually questions for self-reflection. When was your universal heart of love and compassion broken open? Where in your life is there a gap between what is happening and what you deeply care about? And is there something you need to speak up about? Until next time, take good care. See you soon.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.